flight controllers, listen up. Give me a go, no go for launch. Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
Grab your bourbon. Guidance. This is High Drag.
I am Kyle Yanowski.
I am Randa McNally.
I am Ashtarothy.
I'm Fincher.
Zayo Amadeus.
I am Selen.
We are Go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're Go Fly.
Launch Control, this is Houston. We are Go for launch.
This is High Drag.
All right, good evening and welcome to episode 49. Yes, we are almost at the magic half century mark. Episode 49 of the High Drag Podcast, and we are joined by a couple of special guests tonight. It's going to make tonight a pretty good episode. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of this thing, let's do some introductions all the way around. Finn, why don't you kick this thing off? Give us your intro, please, and who you are.
What's up, everybody? I'm Finn Taru, host of Twitch's KFin 0.4FM and CEO of Rifterlings here in EVE Online.
All right, Ash, you're next.
I am Ashtarothy. I am CEO of the Order of Thelemic Ascension, member of NVS, in a C4 wormhole. I am a watcher of KFin TV and or radio, and I am now a CSM 10 candidate. Officially, as of this, as of today, my application was approved, so I am a candidate for CSM 10.
Awesome! Congratulations! But you're not the only CSM 10. Person here. Kator.
Snake in the grass.
Kator, live from Iceland, I might add. Kator, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, guys. I'm Kator Bess. I am an FC for RBB and recruitment manager there as well.
Nice.
Oh, as well as CSM 10 candidate.
Yes, a CSM. Don't sell yourself short, because we don't want Ash being all smug here. So
that. There's absolutely no avoiding that.
Lady, go ahead. Give us an introduction.
I'm Lady Aipsia. I'm a team leader and FC for RVB, Red Federation.
Awesome. And I am Randa McNally. In certain groups, I have picked up the name RMAC. Don't ask me how I got that one, but RMAC, Randa McNally. I'm a line member with the Vendinari. They are part of the End of Life Alliance. We're in the middle of a war deck from some pissant who likes to camp and shoot POS towers. And Vendo Victory. Hey, there we go. What are we doing in-game lately? Let's start back up at the top. Finn, what have you been doing in-game?
Murdering people. Our corp recently did an AWACS event, so that was a lot of excitement. And for some reason, I think I had more stuff that we've been doing, but I've forgotten at this point.
I will say, before we move on, though, you got your T-shirts made. Do you have the details for your T-shirts?
I did get T-shirts. They're $18. They still have a little longer, like another week and a half or so, of people being able to order them. So by the time this goes live, I don't know if you'll be able to... Oh, shit, I got caught. Yep. Damn, bad. Well done, Tuskers.
So we'll make sure, for those of you who are interested, and while Finn is dealing with his yeah, Tusker man. Opponents here, Finn did get his T-shirts made up, and now you're still looking. You have to have how many orders now?
That's been met, so there's no problem there at all.
All right, so if people are interested in a KFin T-shirt... we'll make sure to put the link down as to where you can order KFin. I do have to say, Finn, though, the next batch of shirts, on the back it does have to say playing the best music for your trip to New Clone. It has
to. Yeah. man, that was totally my bad. I totally got caught because I was talking.
So, what are you flying?
God damn it. That was a
pod.
Yeah, pod now. Arty, it was a Dramel fit up kind of like a slicer, so it runs 280 Arties and kites at long range. I had a lot of success with it during our AWACS event, so I've been taking it out and flying with it. It's a lot of fun. It's a little silly. That specific version was kind of expensive. But it's a fun fit. I was killing worms with it during our AWACS event, so I'm pretty happy with that. Anything that can kill a worm is good in my book.
Nice. All right, Kador, what have you been doing in game lately?
I have been logging in with my plethora of alts. I am the man of a million alts, and I have been trying out for, a bit of a refresher. I have been trying out incursions.
What have you thought about incursions? Is this something you're going to take into your CSM campaign?
I've been looking at it because the instant reaction whenever you mention incursions to everyone is generally, it's a easy way to bankroll things. And I've been realizing exactly how hard it can be to run an incursion fleet. So I've been kind of watching the FCs and having a bit of a listen to what actually goes on in the background to try and make sure all this happens.
Nice. So anything else you've been doing in game? Just trying out the incursion stuff?
Mostly the incursions. As you said, I've been over in Iceland, so I've been taking chance to enjoy the beautiful scenery here in Iceland and do some photography. So
yeah, there's no irony lost that RVB member and CSM10 candidate Kador Vest just happened to volunteer for a quick job in Iceland. There's an irony here that is not lost upon me.
I definitely got dibs on that one.
Lady Ipsia, what have you been doing in game lately?
Besides funding my losses in RVB with my indie alts, about 2 weeks ago, I try and do once a month a 500 or so ship FFA, open to red and blue and purple red and blue members, and actually got to try out a bowhead for it for the first time, where I had a bowhead pilot in fleet, ship stocked in it. You could warp to the pilot, grab whatever ship you want, warp back to the planet, and just keep blowing each other up.
This as opposed to setting up a POS tower in one of the systems that you're working on and then just jettisoning the ships?
They took away the ability to jettison ships in mass, so you have to jettison one at a time, which becomes a very big pain with 500 ships. Plus, this way I could just undock the bowhead from station, sit right outside a station, didn't have to haul ships from station to the POS and the bowhead, or before that it used to be an Orca, or assemble them there. So it was just easier. Plus, we don't have to fight and sort out rights for a pause, remind everybody what the password is. It was just a fleet member. The ship maintenance bay was open. You could warp to them and grab a ship and go.
Nice. I remember that during my time in RVB, that was some of the most fun I think I ever had in game, was participating in the free-for-alls. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, we've had some small ones and some big ones, and they've always been fun. I mean, the 5th anniversary, I don't know if you were there for the 100,000 one.
Oh, yes.
I think only made it through 50,000 of them, but it was like a two-week-long thing, and it was a blast.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, Torve Starduster was the one who... I think he was the one who organized the very first free-for-all, and I think that one was the... That one was the one where the Rifters got all ejected, and... CCP had to step in because, first of all, they didn't enhance the mod, the node or something. And then when all the ships got ejected, we actually had to have a dev or a GM fly into system and disappear a whole bunch of them before we crashed the node.
Yeah, I mean, it crashed the game for a bit.
Well, even if we weren't responsible for it, we took credit for it. So
yeah, it was either that or very good coincidence.
There you go. All right, and what I've been doing in game recently, Ash, I'm going to save you for last because, like I said, I think you and Kador are going to, we're just going to sit back and let you two swing at each other or shake hands or whatever. But what I have been doing in game lately, my fellow Vendinari have yet to see me, probably in the last month, because I had a conversation with Del Vecchio of RVB. I still lurk on the RVB forums every once in a while, and I noticed that he was building bowheads, and he had quite the list developing. Well, since I had talked about, in a couple of previous episodes, having a bowhead BPO, I thought, well, what the hell? I'll join up, I'll help out some of my RVB friends, And I am actually helping. Yeah, believe it or not, I do log in once in a while, but I've been doing my industrial thing as well. I did not supply Lady with the bowhead that he is talking about, but I have supplied a couple of them, and I'm going to continue pumping them out until the RVB members say, please stop. So that's what I've been doing in game. It's been pretty dull. Just straight industrial stuff.
Makes me want to come right back, Random.
What? Oh my god, here's a voice. I thought you were not going to join us tonight, sir.
Oh, I can't believe this thing's still running. How are you guys doing?
Good. Why don't you go ahead and give us an introduction and tell us what you haven't been doing in game lately?
I think I can answer the question of what he hasn't been doing.
A lot. Hi, everyone. My name's Kyle Yanowski, both in-game and out. I've been taking a sabbatical of late, and I just wanted to see how everyone is doing, because I missed the wonderful cast here at High Drag. And I just got a note that it's... sorry, I had to pull up Mumble.
That's how unexpectedly he quits, by the way. Mid-sentence, he just leaves.
Good day. Anyway, I saw the name Lady Iapsia. How do I say it?
Lady Iapsia.
Lady Iapsia, and I was expecting a girl.
Nope, I'm one of those girls, guy in real life.
Let's see, Bob from New York, right?
My industrial alt is a female avatar also, but we ended up getting one more person, but... Before we continue, Kyle, what have you been not doing in game lately?
Well, you know, I've been checking back in every now and then, and I got to say, I'm not really excited about Tiamat. I wasn't really excited about the last patch, and I need some vigor. You know, I need something new to drive me back.
Well, C4 for you to move into, by the way, whenever you get bored of not playing Eve.
Because moving into a wormhole is exactly what I need, right? The thing that I've spent 3 years saying is the most boring thing to do at Eve will reinvigorate me. Why not? Is that? Yeah, you're probably right. Anyway, I miss
you.
You've
got people to kill in RVB.
That is true.
I love RVB so much. They were my home for like 2 years or so after I came back to the game, or when I was really first starting it up. And I've been watching some of the RVB streams lately, and I gotta say I'm disappointed. I'm really, really disappointed. The arranged fights bore me to tears. It looks like nobody even tries. All right. Make me sad.
Hold on a second. Before we continue this conversation, we had one more hot drop come in here. Ophelia, I see you sitting in the Mumble server. Why don't you go ahead and give us an introduction? Tell us what you've been doing in game lately.
Hello guys, my name is Ophelia. I am an FC trainer, FC, and one of the command for RVB. I've been playing for about 3 years. I have 4 accounts, 3 of which are in low sec, and they run around killing people. And then I have Ophelia, who stays in RVB. I've been in RVB for almost, I think it's a year and a week this week. So I've been FCing for a pretty long time. I've had lots of great fights. I've made lots of good friends.
Cool, cool.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, not at all.
Another dude.
We're not going to get hung up on this, are we, Kyle?
I'm going to do like a psychology episode or something.
Do you want me to rename my character so it says Dennis?
Denise. I don't know. Welcome.
No. I know that my 3 main characters are all female. I do have 2 minor characters that are both male.
I have, 3 accounts, and amongst 3 accounts, I have 8 tunes, and I'm about half and half with mine, so whatever. So, Ash, you're the last person that hasn't told us what you've been doing in game lately, so please step up, take the microphone. Oh, I should mention one thing that I've been doing outside of game lately is I have been working with the gentleman from Cap Stable with Nosy Gamer and Lock Fox and the Cap Stable podcast crew doing weekend roundups of the week's releases of the interviewees for the CSM positions. So I've been having a lot of fun with that as well. So,
and let me say that they have done a fantastic job, both in the execution of all of their interviews, but also with dealing with these weekend reviews that you guys have been working on. Like, those Cap Stable guys are freaking marathon runners. Like, I know last year they had something along the lines of like 25 candidates, and that was, you know, kind of a strain. And now there's literally over 80 registered candidates, I'm pretty sure. So, like, they're slogging through it. And I mean, I'm sure they're not going to get to everybody at this point, but they're knocking out a lot of people.
They've already said that they're going to have they've already had the cutoff date. So if you've not shouted for an interview, then I think you've missed your chance now. But yeah, they do great work. I very, very well researched, and the guys are just stand up amazing.
When does voting open up?
End of the month.
Or has it?
No. So the candidacy period ends on the 15th, and then I think voting starts up shortly thereafter. I'll pull that up real quick.
Is Xander running again?
Xander is running again.
All right.
All right. Well, the last person who has yet to say what he's been doing in game, and then we'll start into some discussion. But Ash, if you can multitask by talking and pulling up this information at the same time, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you've been doing in game recently?
Sure. Well, first I'll say that the voting starts on the 25th of February. Second of all, I know these things because I am running for CSMX, which is a big step in my world.
What?
Yeah, I'm going for it. I got my candidacy post up. I did my interview with CSM or with the Cap Stable. It actually went live yesterday, according to now. And doing my thing. I'm posted a few blogs on my blog, which is thelemicascension.com or .blogspot.com. I'll give you the link for the show notes. And generally just been kind of throwing my ideas out there, seeing if people will vote for me. Who knows? But on top of that, like I said, we moved into a new alliance, which means a new wormhole, and they've been a wonderful group of guys. I wish I'd been able to actually, like, fly with them and doing, like, cool stuff, but it seems like everything I get to do now is logistics and, you know, whatnot. On top of that, I've been maintaining the Tweetfleet Slack, which has now exploded. From my understanding, a week ago, CFC found out about it, and so our numbers went from 200 to 500, and we had to put in some very basic moderation stuff, like normal members can't just spin up public channels anymore. Just, you know, basic stuff like that. Although we've been trying to keep things as moderation light as possible in the spirit of what Tweetfleet really is. However, that's been pretty exciting. Also, our auto invite tool that we use for Tweetfleet Slack has broken because Slack has decided that that's now a paid feature, because I guess when you invite 300 people in less than a week, they notice. So we were using an undocumented API call from their stuff, and they decided to release it as a paid service. So now we have to go back to inviting people individually, which is probably going to slow down growth, but, you know, it's pretty fun. We've got a ton of CCP guys in there. We've got a ton of lore geeks in there. It's been a good old time. And then I also just recently put out my second lore panel, the TM lore panel, which was
really cool to listen to, by the way.
It was terrifically successful. I was very, very happy about it. And now we've got not only plans for that, but we've got plans for other crazy stuff that we want to do to bring people the lore in a very digestible way, because I think that's something that's very important for our community. And then on top of that, pushing out new interviews, we just put out CCP Darwin interview. We had an interview with CCP Siegel. And now we are working towards our next one is going to be Bam Stoker from Eve Down Under and Eve Meet. So My plate is extremely full right now, and it has very little to do with hitting F1, but a lot to do with Eve. So it's kind of where I want it to be.
Oh, you're just dropping all the dev names, aren't you? On the Hydrostatic podcast, huh?
Yeah, well, it's a format that I think works for that. And they seem to like it, so I like to have them on it. So it works out, I guess.
No, I was going to say I listened to the Tiamat lore panel and to the CCP Darwin interview just like yesterday and today, and really enjoyed both of them. So for those people who are listening, if you're just in Finn's Twitch stream or if you are downloading the podcast, if you guys, Kyle, seriously, you're going to bolt already? That's a true hot drop. Seriously. All right. Well, thanks for stopping by. Do you have any shout outs you'd like to throw out while you're here?
Warning. Warning. Imminent gremlin attack detected. Activating the Azariah ECM burst.
How about we just kind of continue rolling on? Let's touch very, very quickly upon Tiamat. I know, Finn, you were interested in the Sveeple.
Yes.
I know you had made a mention of the fact that you were really looking forward to next Tuesday.
Yes, I am very interested in the Sveeple. I have not checked it out because it is on Sissy, and I know there were a lot of people asking me, like, are you going to jump on the test servers to play with it? And I'm not. I haven't jumped on a test server to play with that. I'm going to come in completely fresh. There's definitely some people that have a head start on me. Zach is one of those, big YouTube maker, and in Corp, he's already done a video about some Sveeple fits that he really liked for it, and he's got a head start on me. But I'm going to treat it the same way I did with the Confessor. There's going to be some hardcore testing with court mates before I actually take one out and start blowing things up with it. And then I plan on making a video out of it eventually. Confessor is the next video that I'm going to be doing for YouTube stuff since I finished this Dream at one up. I have lots of ideas. That's something that I've been getting lots and lots of questions about. And I have a feeling Chester has been getting the same questions because of the dev blog that we were both mentioned in. It's kind of weird because it feels like I've got some crazy pressure on me to do some things, crazy things with the Confessor or the Sveeple, and I hope I can live up to that.
What about you RVB guys? Have you had a chance to look at it, play with it on the on CC? Do you expect it to be used at all?
I think it'll be used. The Confessor's fairly common now. I mean, especially with the way people like to kite and... You know, we have a fair amount of soloists who just want to try and solo the fleet or pick off what they can, and it appeals to them. But on the other hand, it's a shiny, and nothing brings out an RVB fleet faster than a shiny.
Really? Shiny? Because, I mean, it's all of like 40 mil, and the Sveeple's not going to be much more expensive.
40 mil compared to what's the average? How much is a cruiser?
I
think what they mean is it's shiny as in new and shiny. Like,
ooh, well, it's shiny as new and shiny.
It costs like an assault frigate does at this point.
Yeah, but mostly fly T1 frigates and cruisers. So it's shiny. I mean,
they were getting used when they were like a couple of hundred mil, and they've become really popular since the price dropped through the floor. So I suspect the Sveeple will see some serious use. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as expensive as the Confessor was when it first kicked off, but that plus the projectile weapon balance changes, I'm so looking forward to that.
So one of the major reasons why the Sveeple will not cost the same as the Confessor was that the Confessor involved the addition of a new item into the game to unlock these things. Which would be the holes that you get in low-level wormholes. So I'm pretty sure the same material that builds the Confessors will also... that we use to reverse-engineer the Confessor will also be used to reverse-engineer the Sveeple. So instead of having to be the first people that find this new product, people already have this product built up at this point. So the prices will probably still start out ridiculously high, but you'll see the drop off way faster. So it'll happen in a matter of days instead of a matter of weeks.
That's assuming we don't see one of those strange things where you need a racial specific in some manner. Although, didn't they get away with that in the T3s?
I think you still have to have, don't you still have to have the racial DESI 5 plus the skill? There's a racial skill.
Yes. No, you still need that. But my point is that they had to add in a new ship hull piece, because the old medium ship hull piece for the T3 cruisers were not sufficient. So they added in a new frigate or destroyer-sized small wrecked and small... I can't remember all of the names that they have for it, but you know, the things that you reverse engineer for a hull. So my understanding, or my guess, and remember, I'm not the industry guy on my show, is that it should probably normalize a lot faster than the competitor did.
Well, I don't do any T3 construction, so as the industry guy on this show, I have nothing to contribute. Sorry. All right. So let's go into the meat and potatoes of tonight's episode. Finn, back a few weeks ago, now we were supposed to record a couple of weeks ago, and due to some circumstances beyond our control, we had to cancel that recording a couple of weeks ago. But you had brought up a topic which prompted me to contact these gentlemen from RVB, and that topic was Newbro FCs. Did you have anything you wanted to contribute before I start grilling these RVB guys about the Newbro FC stuff?
It was a mail that I had got from some viewers who were asking about doing FC stuff, and some of the questions they have would be maneuvering, such as commands for fleet warp versus jumping. Don't be afraid to take fights. New FC should never know what will be a good fight or a bad one. Take risks. Oh, a new FC should never know. So explaining about figuring out the fights, timing scouts, and figuring out how to get a fleet to something that a scout has tackled, and trying to do it in enough time to catch them before the scout dies. And then rules of thumb for target calling and judging the field. Those were some points that people would like to know in regards to newbie FC stuff.
All right. So when you had brought up the topic about Newbro FCs, my first thought literally went to Noob Fleet in RVB. And joining us tonight from RVB, as we've had him talking a little bit earlier tonight, Cater Vess, Lady Iepsia, and Ophelia, what is it, Yorosala?
Yeah.
Okay. We brought them on, or I asked them to come on, because these three have been very active at some point or another, training brand new players in, not only with Noob Fleet, but also as FCs, right?
Yep, of course. Absolutely. I have, right now, I have a list of, I really don't even know. I got a bunch of people that I have to somehow manage to go train.
Oh, okay. So I guess as part of tonight's show, and some of this information, now, did you hear some of the questions that Finn read off from a listener? How do you address some of these things? Can you tell us a little bit about how RVB trains people for FCs? Can you talk a little bit about some of the things that a new bro needs to know versus what a new bro FC doesn't necessarily need to know? The one thing I will start off with is, for somebody who is interested as a new bro, if you're interested in being an FC, the first step is do it. Just step up and say, I'll do it.
I can't help but echo that. I mean, people will happily follow an FC, even a bad one, because they don't want to FC. And if you want to try leading, just step up, because it works. And I mean, even the other times to step up, if your FC dies and you think you know enough to get what's going on, call targets, call bail, get in charge, and just keep trying to lead them.
Or even if, for that matter, even if you don't know what's going on, if no one's stepping up, just call a ship. I mean, at that point, it's better than no one calling a ship.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably one of the biggest advice I could give to any new FC is keep talking. I mean, nothing sucks more then they call the primary, and then 5 minutes of silence as you're killing it, and you have no clue what's going on. I mean, just keep talking, keep telling targets, give them a direction, and people will follow it.
Silence kills fleets more than bullets. If you've if you've ever wanted to know what the health of the fleet is, wait for that moment when the FC's down and he asks for a status update and there's no response. The comms is completely silent for like 10 seconds or five seconds. It feels like forever. But like when that happens, you know that basically your entire fleet is probably dead because no one is stepping up. And so, yeah, that first taking a step up is really the only real difference between an FC and a non-FC. Everything else is just whether or not you're a good FC or not.
You know what?
Exactly.
This is one of the things that I've found recently. There's, you know, we can do everything, especially since this is, you know, info that we're trying to orient towards a new person, especially a new FC. We can do everything that we can possibly think of to try and make it easier for somebody to jump into that spot to FC. But I'm going to be honest, it's still nerve-wracking. You're going to have to get yourself, as a new FC, you have to get yourself, if you're interested in doing it, you have to get yourself over that hurdle of just stepping up and saying things. Because, I mean, here in Rifterlings, for example, we offer, like, we have fit-up ships that we give to FCs to hand out to small gangs. Like, to, if they want to take a small gang out, we have fit-up ships now that we can hand packages of these things to FCs and be like, here you go, here's 20 ships. You know, take a gang of 5 people out, you have replacements, already fit up, already a small composition, everything go. Just take them out and go. But, you know, it's that step. That's the biggest, most nerve-wracking thing. As an FC, somebody who wants to jump into it, just do it. You can do it. Just do it.
I agree completely.
We actually have an FC reward loyalty program that tracks the time people FC and gives them loyalty points they can use in a store to buy ships and
that
it's,
is
you know
awesome.
To get people.
We need to do
That's
that.
That's a great
we
idea.
Need to do that. I love it.
It's so I think it's Charles, I forget his last name, helped set it up. And it's a beautiful
Charles Berger.
And it's a beautiful thing. So, you log in, you click the start, it records how long you, you know, and you click stop. And basically the restrictions are, you know, as long as you have keep getting kills during that time period and there are fleets going on, you get points.
I just want to say it's getting them over that initial because I remember the thing that I used to have. When I first started FCing, was I always felt guilty about people losing ships, and it was just got to change your mindset to be, nobody is going to be angry at you for losing a ship, because unless you're flying like an Eagle fleet or something like that, which if you're doing that first time out, then you've got some cojones, but.
I basically, when I go out, and I wouldn't necessarily call myself a new FC, but I come out, whenever I go out, I say, look, if you're coming above this line, you know, you're coming at your own risk. You know, if you come in my fleet and I have a bunch of Tristans and you come in a Dramiel and you lose that Dramiel, sorry, man, I did my best. But I would say that the number one skill that an FC needs to learn to work at the very beginning. I was thinking about this for a while because there's a lot of different things that obviously an FC needs. But I think the number one skill to being a successful FC is the ability to forgive yourself, to shake something off and really be able to take a step back and analyze it and learn from it. Because ain't nobody an FC out the gate. Ain't nobody a good FC out the gate.
That's very
not,
true.
Not entirely true. Well, I mean, depends on what you mean by a good FC. If you mean somebody that goes out and is going to win every fight, then yeah, that's true. There's no good FC. But if somebody that can take a group out and have fun, that's real easy to do. You know, just taking a group out and have
awesome
fun.
Oh, there's awesome FCs.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing that you have to remember as an FC. It's not necessarily whether you win or you lose. It's that people had fun and enjoyed being out there.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's far more important than just winning.
And that actually, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, for us winning, if one side's dominating, that usually leads to one side camping a gate because the other side stops logging in, they get bored, they can't beat it. It's better to, you know, have everybody having fun, keep killing, keep going on, and keeping the fights going. That's the most important thing.
There was in Rifterlings, there's one FC that we've had that is forever immortalized in Rifterlings history, and that's Big Bubba Shrumps. And this dude had that as stereotypical deep southern accent and voice as you could possibly imagine. And he would just take groups out all the time and do the craziest stuff, to the point where he took a noob ship. Rifterlings roam out, and they almost killed a carrier with noob ships. They got that carrier down to 98% shields. It was dead. It was going to die. 98% shield.
What?
It was going to die. Yep.
Okay.
That was a joke, Ash. That was a joke.
Yep. So, I mean, and I've had the problem with FCing of like doing something that's just intensely boring, like FCing a mining op, or in my case, FCing like plexing,
or you know, structure bashes. I mean, I've done time in null. That even in RVB, we go and you know, we had our whole POCO event where we cleared out a ton of them. It's boring, but it's the chat and the fun in the fleet that makes it worth coming to.
Yeah, and so knowing when to control the situation and to, you know, hunker down and be disciplined and exude that discipline to your fleet, so that way they know kind of when to hunker down, and also knowing when to loosen things up and let things be okay, because, you know, it doesn't matter what fleet you're in, there's going to be periods of time where there just isn't very much content, and if you make that period of time miserable, then people are going to be miserable. So I think that those softer skills honestly becomes almost more important than the ability to target call or something like that. Because especially if you're a new FC, like if you're a new FC, especially for newer players, like nobody's going to expect you to know what the difference between a Harpy and a Harbinger is necessarily right out the bat. It's something that you should probably learn over time if you want to be an FC, but inevitably you are on stage the whole time, and if you can do well with that, then you can do well as an FC, and all that other shit comes later.
Well, we haven't heard from Ophelia. Now, as part of RVB, you train FCs, right?
Yes.
Okay, how do you approach something like this? You get a person, let's say you get somebody who joins up with RVB, and they come to you and they say, look, I'm a fairly new player, but I really want to learn how to FC. How do you take them through the process? How do you walk them through? How do you introduce them to doing this sort of thing?
Usually what I'll do, I'll send them a mail, basic what to expect, forming up a fleet, just little pointers for them to think about in the future. Not so much they have to know it right away. And I always end it in the biggest font Eve can give you. A fight is a fight, because as Lady and Cater and Ash were talking earlier, it is a fight. Win or lose, it is a fight. I FC'd the other day. I lost 3 fights in a row. Doesn't mean I'm a bad FC. We still got kills, nonetheless. We all had fun. There's still lots of reds and blues on, which was the whole point. So basically what I'll do, if I get a new FC, I'll start a fleet. I'll go on, just FC like myself, constantly giving commentary why I'm making the decisions I am making. Exactly, little tips, little pointer stuff here and there for the new guy. Okay, this is what, if you want to try this sometime, you can do this. But this is how you form a fleet up. This is how you organize it. This is how you run a fleet. And I'll do that 2 or 3 fights. And then once I'm done that, I'll basically give him boss and help him build up the fleet again once or twice. He'll go to the fight. He'll FC the fight. And after each fight, myself, along with any other veteran FCs or just anyone in the fleet, just criticism, things you could improve on, along with things you did right. What were some of the decisions that were good decisions that you did in that fight that you should just keep doing? So it gives the new FCs a hands-on, if you will, practice, but they're getting constant feedback the entire time while they're doing it. And I know sometimes it happens, people get mad because they are new. I always make sure I'm there when teaching them, so no one can get mad at them, so they don't feel like, oh, I'm going to feel bad for whelping these guys because I had no idea what I was doing. No. We have people there that are willing to lend that helping hand to help them get through that hump, if you will, that we were talking about earlier. And by the time we're done that whole fleet, they pretty much have an idea of what to expect as an FC.
So as part of training FCs with RVB, how long does this process generally take? How many times do you do this with a new person before you say, you know, okay, you should be able to fly on your own. You really don't need me.
We started a fleet and we were only there for 2 hours. And by the end of those 2 hours, they were fine. I've also had people where I've sat in fleet and we went for about 6.5 and they finally got it. I kind of determine whether or not they understand how to FC when I don't have to help them set up the fleet, move the fleet, and get the fight. As soon as they go by doing it 2, 3, 4 times, most of the time they'll get the hang of it and they'll just start doing it, almost like a repetitive type of process. At that point, I usually give the okay. They understand how to get the fleet going. They understand how to get the fight. Now they can start focusing on okay, how should I really call primary? You want the DPS first? You want the logic? Like that kind of stuff. That comes later. First things first, though, they at least know how to set up the fleet and get it a fight.
And get it around, because I mean, half the part of being an FC is herding the cats to the goal.
Yep.
One of the things that I do is I don't necessarily like if I'm with a newer FC or even experienced FCs sometimes, but you know, basically I slide back into my kind of scoutish role. So instead of outright telling somebody what to do, once they've kind of started to catch things up, what I'll do is act like a scout and kind of point things out that not necessarily is an order or like a correction or an instruction, but you know, if they say warp to medium plex, I'll just casually report what's in the small plex to maybe let him, because if they have that information, they might make a different decision, and so you know, kind of help guide them in the right direction, and I generally kind of slide back into an XO position as a fleet support as opposed to a fleet commander after a period of time.
Yeah, it's pretty much the way that I approach. Whenever we've got a new guy who wants to step up an FC, I'll very often say, you know, does anybody want to FC? New guy who steps up, I'll offer to XO for him. So I'll take away the initial difficulty of, oh, how do I maintain a fleet advert? How do I get people into the fleet? How do I sort out squads and boosts and wings? And take all that away from them and just let them focus on, okay, so how do I get the fleet around? Everybody walk to this, everybody walk to that. Oh, right, okay, so I've got a command that will let me do that. Okay, fleet walk to this.
Yeah, the bottom line is that if you are FCing, or if you decide to FC and you're not an RVB or any of these other organizations, you know, still go for it. And if it isn't fun because people are doing those things, they are blaming you, they are... You know, there's somebody who's stomping all over you or whatever. Maybe they're not the right people for you. You know, it might be a matter that you need to find one of these organizations that are very conducive to teaching FCs, because they are there. If you take 10 minutes to hunt for an organization that wants to foster FCs, you will find some amazing. I mean, like your FC reward program. That's amazing. That's a great idea, and there are great ideas out there. So if you find yourself in an organization and you find yourself with a bunch of people that are just kind of angry and don't really understand the game and don't really teach you the thing, and you know, you're just doing it because you got war decked or something like that, and you know, somebody has to lead and yet they blame you because they brought out their triple tanked Raven and it's all your fault, like, get away from that poison and find a group of people that will foster you and show you the correct way to do it. Just like anything else in EVE, if you're not having fun with the people that you're with, then you're with the wrong people.
If you don't mind me jumping in here real quick, when I was part of RVB, I always wanted to take that first step. And honestly, it's the nervousness. It goes back to that, just step up and do it. Now, I think you guys might want to correct me here, but in my philosophy, there are two types of FCs. Now, each of these two types will have various degrees of experience, but you have two types of FCs. You have the first type of FCs, which I think are a little bit more towards the beginner level, And those are kind of the whelp FCs. They're the ones that come right out and say, you know what? Don't expect to bring your ship back. I am not expecting to come back, and I intend to take everybody out, and we will take any fight, we will grab anything, we will try to latch onto it. Even if we all die, we're just going to go out and shoot at everything we could possibly shoot at. That's kind of the first group. The second group are the very experienced FCs. They're the ones that can sit back and go, okay, I know all my fleet comp, and I can compare it to what I see in front of me and can make that split-second decision of, can my fleet with the ships that I have take out the fleet that's in front of me? Is that kind of how you see the progression? Does this sound familiar, or does this? Are there any degrees that I'm missing?
That just comes with experience. Though knowing what your fleet is capable of comes from knowing your ships and the pilots and the capabilities of the ships and the pilots. When you first start out, nobody expects you to be able to say, okay, my fleet is going to be able to take this fight or not. I mean, for me, it's just a case of when you start out, just take any fight that you think that you can kill, even a single ship. Even if you die hilariously, unless you're in something ridiculously expensive, people are going to love you even more for the fact that you stepped up and provided content, as opposed to just sitting in station spinning ships. And if you find a group that blames you and is hateful towards you because, oh well, we didn't win that, we didn't come out with maximum misc efficiency, then that's probably not a particularly good group to be flying with to start off with.
I also want to point out there real quick, because I don't believe we've said this, for anyone to FC, not many people know this, it requires zero in-game experience. You don't have to know how to fly a cruiser. You don't have to know really how to fly a frigate. You can FC from a pod, although it's not advised. It's all out of game experience, so anyone can do it. I personally learned on my first day. I was kind of forced into FCing, didn't know what the heck I was doing, and I somehow killed 17 ships. I mean, everyone's different. Sometimes you just got to get that little push, but it's definitely possible. Anyone can do it.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, absolutely. My favorite guys are the guys who are 1 or 2 days into the game. And when I say, does anybody want to FC? They step up and say, yeah, I wouldn't mind, but I have no clue what I'm doing. I love those guys because it's like, well, I'll help you if you want. If you want to step up and be an FC, then, you know, I'll give you all the support I can. I love those guys.
Yeah, because it means I can do things I enjoy more, like scout or fly fun ships, and don't have to FC.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, while ship identification is important, what I have found is, like, trying to memorize all of the ships. Like, when I first got into the game, I had a chart of all of the ship names and types that I used when I was a scout for NullSec when I first joined the game. But ultimately, like, that hardcore, like, memorization isn't necessarily the best, because it doesn't teach you how these things are utilized. It doesn't teach you that a Wreath is significantly less common than a Condor, which is significantly more common than probably a Punisher, especially in certain areas. So what's better is to just start paying attention to what's going on. Like, as you're out there, just pay attention to what people are using. If you meet a lot of Condors, then learn what that means. If you run into something that you've never seen before, then that means that you run into something that you don't recognize, then that means that you don't know what it is, and you might need to ask somebody. And you know, use that to your advantage. Use your knowledge, your slowly growing knowledge, to your advantage. As you gain more and more things that you're comfortable with, that you understand how they work, you know, you can add things to your belt. And honestly, in any given section of space, there's only a few dozen ships that you're going to be running into and learning and figuring out how they interact with one another. And then, you know, occasionally you'll call something and everybody will freak out because you didn't realize this, but you just called a freighter or something.
Yeah,
and then it's a good day for everyone.
Freighter kills are good kills.
The thing is, I mean, if you learn, say, for example, the destroyers and some of the more common frigates, then, you know, and some of the cruisers, then that will cover the majority of the ships that you are likely to see to start off with. And by and large, unless you run into sort of like a battleship or a battle cruiser fleet, you know, then a good place to start is just learn what are the high value high primaries like the Desis, because they have no they can have next to no tank. I mean, the obvious exception being the new tactical ones, but
I mean that's almost, you know, if you want to go through primary list, very first thing, Desis. They're any Desis, you should probably know that. Yeah. Desis are high DPS, usually low tank. If you want to call something to kill it quickly, get the Desis off the field. Usually you can't go wrong with that as one of your first targets.
ECM is pretty high up there too, and nobody will blame you for targeting the Griffin.
Yeah, I should have been fair in my fleet.
But I will say this, one of the trickiest things to learn, those ships that you should try and catch within the first 5 seconds of the fight and then let go and ignore till later because they pulled too far away. And a Griffin is one of those things where if it lands close to you, great, get it. But one thing an FC never wants to do is become so focused and get the whole group chasing after some ship that's kiting out while they get picked off.
Yeah, when it comes to those things like Griffins in particular, what I like to do is I like to take one person that I'm pretty sure is a good Griffin destroyer. So either a fast tackle, or better yet, like an Algos. Those make me super happy. And then just be like, hey, you, if a Griffin shows up, you're on Griffin duty. Everybody else, kill destroyers.
Yeah, drones handle Griffins, so it's just, hey, if you've got drones, throw them on the Griffin, and then worry about shooting the actual primaries with your gun. That's how I typically handle
it. Now, when it comes to the actual target calling for an FC, I mean, this is obviously going to be one of the muddiest, grayest areas as far as being an FC, because I'm not going to say that I'm the most experienced FC, but I know that in a lot of cases, if you present people with a situation, each FC might look at it a little bit differently. So in general, what is a good set of categories to start targeting? Okay, we've already talked about the Griffins, and we've already talked about Desis. What are some good categories of ships that people want to go after in a certain priority? Is a higher priority than that?
I think there's one thing you should talk about slightly before that, and one thing everything FC should make sure they have your overview set right. I mean, there's that is like one of the biggest key things, because nothing sucks more as somebody saying, I'll FC, and then not seeing a target, not knowing what a target can be, where they are. I mean, overview is key. And even some of the basic things like how to sort your overview by distance, by type, those can be big factors and can help out a lot, that if an FC doesn't realize that, can cause problems. So, I mean, even before you get to ship calling, make sure you know your overview works right. Make sure you know what your targets are. Make sure you know how to sort by distance so you know how far your enemies are, or by type so you can pick a group of or type of ship and get rid of them.
And I just wanted to note on top of that, I don't know, because I haven't flown with any other big alliances besides RVB, but I know RVB has a preset overview set up for any new guys coming into RVB and you need a new one. We have a basic RVB setup we can get you.
And I think most core, I mean, even when I was in Null, there were like, you know, people were passing around whole sets. I mean, you had to get them a different way back then. But I mean, you know, if you're going out into Null, you might want to have a setup or a tab that can show bubbles, interdictors, and hicks, because those can be a big problem. Just be aware and know what you can do, and, you know, make sure you have an overview that shows you targets. In RVB, one of the big things is we will sometimes have purple fleets to balance, and we'll swap members. Your FC has to be able to see people in the same corp as them, but not in fleet, so they know they're valid targets.
That sounds very complicated. If we could swing back to the kind of things that are high priority targets, this one gets a little bit more complicated because it's kind of helpful to know your approximate DPS of your fleet. You know, so before you go out, it's good to get an idea of approximately how much DPS you can bring to bear, so that way you know what you can and can't break. But in essence, if you are dealing with a fleet that has Logi, and you can't break the number of logi that they have, but you suspect that you can break the logi that they have minus one, taking out their logi is not a terrible idea.
I would actually say, depending on what you're fighting, taking out their logi first completely isn't a bad idea at all. I mean,
yeah, it's generally a good idea, but my problem is that there are certain setups, like, in fact, I fly a lot of strategies where my logi are, and I love my logi bros, expendable. They are a distraction while my real fleet gets to work.
That's true and can be useful, but again, how often will the average new pilot face, new FC face that? I mean,
it's true. It really boils down to that range dictation, right? If you start targeting a logi and you're seeing that it's just not working and they're pulling away, then push them away and then abandon that and kill the squishy things that aren't being protected by the logi anymore.
Yeah, I almost like to come at this from a different angle and say, rather than thinking about learning what I need to call, I learn what things are. When I started this, I learned what things not to call. So I learned what ships could be turned into absolute tank monsters and tried to avoid those. And I would have somebody doing things like looking at the guns on the ships to see whether they were large gun or small gun fit, you know, whether they were set up for just being DPS absorption or whether they were set up to actually deal out some DPS.
But I mean, I think that's one of the areas where RVB differs a little bit from the norm, because we don't have as much doctrine. We let people fly anything. So unlike a crafted fleet where you'll have certain, you know, scouts and tackle and logi and e-war, we're a kitchen sink. And it's great, but then, yeah, you've got to watch out for the small gun maulers. But how often do you see a small gun mauler out in faction warfare?
Well, you don't see small gun maulers, but you will see rapid light missile caracals all the time.
Well, you'll see that everywhere. I mean, that's...
Right, but I'm just saying. But again, that's just what you learn. As you begin to FC in that area, you begin to learn what kind of things live there.
And that is important to learn, because that helps dictate what your targets are.
Yeah, so I would say that the best thing to do is get into a situation where you're with people that don't completely rage out on you because of the fact that you whelp the fleet, but at the same time are polite and knowledgeable enough to point out something if... You know, after the fact, and be like, hey, by the way, rapid light missile caracals are really freaking mean to frigates and, I mean, frigates and desks.
That's another thing. Any new FC should not be a controlling FC. They've got to take advice from a vet where, oh, that stabber just warped into the middle of our fleet. Maybe instead you should switch your target to him, get him pointed before he can pull range and start kiting. Accepting that advice and not yelling at people who say that is also an important thing.
This is where it's important as a fleet member, though, to, you know, to if you've got a new FC inside of your fleet, don't be afraid of trying to call for them. But if you can get tackle on something that's just landed inside of the middle of you, you know, just tell the FC, oh, I've got tackle on that rupture that's right in the middle of us, and you know.
Yeah, never. Don't say. Don't start calling targets, because the worst thing that could, if you're working with a new FC, the worst thing that you could do is be a second FC within the fleet. You don't want to do that.
Don't
be like
backseat FC.
Hey, yeah. Hey, we should totally kill this rupture that I have pointed. Like, that is pretty much, well, depending on who it is, would be fine. But if you just start like, primary is this, like, you don't want to do shadoo on somebody, you know, unless you've got really good reason.
Or something, you know, random. Yeah, and you don't want to kill that. And I mean, some of it too is they may not notice what warped in late, or what, you know, was brought in late. Because, you know, the first fleet is bait, then you warp in your logi afterwards. The new FC may not notice that.
It's not just about, like, disparaging the new FC or causing him to feel bad. It is a matter of unit cohesion, right? So as long as there's one voice that's giving orders, it almost doesn't matter who that voice is. But as soon as there's two to three people giving orders with the same level of authority, fleets tend to fall apart very, very fast after that. Even the best fleets cannot survive multiple people fighting for who is in charge. It just doesn't work. So you don't want to like start calling over your fellow FC, but you know, you can say, hey, I think we should do this, and give them the ability to then give that order.
Well, and when you start usurping the authority of that new bro FC, you destroy any confidence that he's building up until that point.
Right, you kill his confidence, and you kill the confidence of the fleet in that person. And both of those are very bad.
I've booted people from fleets before for doing things like that. You know, when I've been exoing for somebody, the FC is a new bro, and somebody is trying to backseat FC and calling over them and stuff like that. I've booted them from fleets before for doing that because it's not what you need.
And I'm actually going to take a step back for a second because we've used a term that isn't that popular a couple of times in this so far in this episode, which is exo. Actually, Cador, you wanna kind of define what an XO is?
Yeah, sure. So an XO, from the term executive officer, is kind of the second in command, the guy who goes and makes sure that all the stuff goes on in the background. So for my money, it's the guy who sorts out things like the advert and making sure that the people who want to get into the fleet can get into the fleet, that wings and squads are sorted out, that Logi gets into the correct channel, that all of the stuff that goes on around making the fleet actually work as efficiently as possible gets done without the FC having to worry about, oh, where are my scouts heading to, and are we all within range of to be able to catch something if he calls tackle on it.
The important thing about the XO role is that it's a way to support an FC regardless of how experienced they are. I've had FCs with 4 or 5 plus years of experience that still like to have an XO that manages things for them because that way they can focus on whatever it is that they need to focus on. Like, the XO does the cat herding.
Yeah.
And I actually find the position of XO far more rewarding than the position of FC, but either way. It also helps to have a set XO, because that way when the FC goes down, there's a clear chain of command as to who's going to call next, usually.
I mean, the XO is flying something that is really, really kitey in the middle of fleet that is just brawly, then he's going to have a difficult time doing that. But as long as the XO knows what he's doing, he's going to try and accommodate what the fleet is actually designed to do. And it does make good sense for him to step up as a secondary caller if the FC dies.
And I mean, that is a good thing for a new FCs too. Always make sure you ahead before you get into a bad situation. Make sure there's a backup caller. It helps.
I would say, even to take that one step further, establish as much as possible before the fight. So, if you can tell people how your overview is sorted, that's great. If you tell people how you're going to be calling things, that's great. If you want to give people a general idea of what your strategy is going into it, then that's great. Any amount of kind of preparation, priming the pump that you can give to the fleet that doesn't result in them questioning you, that's the one caveat to that. But any amount of kind of like heads up about how to work things or how things should roll as before you jump into the fire, the more successful you should be, as long as you stick to what you kind of laid out, or at least tell them that things change.
I got a question for you guys. When a young, idealistic new player comes in and says, I want to be an FC, and comes up with these rather creative tactical situations, how do you respond to somebody who says, a new bro FC who says, well, I want the Logi to hold off. I don't want the Logi to warp with the ship or warp with the fleet. I want to warp the fleet in, begin the engagement, and then bring the Logi in after the engagement kicks in so that we've got a few minutes and then catch them by surprise with something like this. Have you ever run into situations like this? And how do you talk to new new bro FCs who come up with these interesting tactical things that may or may not be all that smart?
Part of it is you have to evaluate yourself whether it is a good idea. Warping Logi in late, not necessarily a bad idea. I've seen it work. I've seen it not work. some of the more obscure ideas where they're trying to do some complicated hammer pincer mover maneuver where, you know, half the fleet is in one part, the other fleet comes in on them. Those you kind of have to rein in and remind them that it's not that complicated.
I would say what I generally do is if I outright disagree with them or if I think it's a bad idea, like, hey, I know, let's all get ruptures and then put lasers on it. People won't freaking expect it. And I'll be like, well, traditionally, that isn't what's happened. That isn't why people do this, and this is why. And, you know, kind of lay that out. But ultimately, I mean, let's be honest. At one point, smart bombing rogues was a dumb idea that somebody threw out there, and it ended up being awesome. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily discourage it, but if you can give them a fair argument as to why it's done a different way, then you should probably at least tell them why it's done a different way and allow them to make the decision of whether or not they want to experiment or if they want to go kind of the safer, more protected path.
And I mean, some of it too is a mix between, you know, fits are one thing. Again, you know, trying to maneuver multiple things in another way through space is a bit different. You know, it's much easier to say a fit is bad or not working because of X, Y, and Z. Trying to explain why it doesn't matter if one fleet's 50 kilometers above them and the other fleet's 50 below them, it's not going to change much. Or that trying to get two fleets in those positions is a bitch.
All right. We're going to come up and we're going to take a few minutes break here just to give us an opportunity to bio and top off our beverages. But before we go into our break, let's do one quick round through everybody. What is a one bit of advice you would give to a new Bro FC? And we'll just go straight down the line. Ash, what is your one bit of advice you could give to a new Bro FC?
Learn from your mistakes, but don't hold them against you.
Okay, Finn.
If your fleet members tell you that they don't care about losing stuff, trust them. Trust them. If they're willing to back you on learning, trust them. Believe them.
All right, Kador. Kador.
I think he jumped in we'll go... his refill rope.
Oh, he started on a little bit. Okay, what... lady.
What was that? Sorry, I didn't.
I was going to say.
I went to go get a drink.
Okay, Kador, if you had just one bit of advice you want to give to a new Bro FC, what's your one bit of advice?
Don't be afraid of taking a fight. Even if you can kill one ship, then that's an engagement that can be fun.
All right. Lady.
Just keep communicating with the fleet.
And Ophelia.
Don't be afraid to take risks, guys. We can only learn from losing ships. If you don't lose enough ships, you won't learn. So don't be afraid.
All right. And as my one bit of advice, you know, me being the highly experienced FC that I am, my first bit of advice would be just step up and do it. Get past that first hurdle. Once you say, you know, once you first put your hand up and say, yep, I want to do it, that's the first step. So at this point, we're going to step away. We're going to take a break. We're going to give people time to bio and top off their beverages. And Ten Zada, who's listening in the Fintru chat, penis. Does that work for you? We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Backstroke lover, always hot beneath the covers. Still a talk to you, my daddy, I say. Said you ain't seen nothing. Fill you down on a muffin, then you're sure to be changing your ways. I'm at a cheerleader, was a real young weed. All the times I can reminisce. All the best things of loving with a sister and a cousin. Only started with a little kiss like this. Seesaw swinging with the balls in the school. And your feet flying up in the air. Sing a hey diddle diddle with your kitty in the middle of the swing like it didn't care. So I took a big chance at the high school dance with a mister who was ready to play. She a fool, of course she knew what she was doing. And an old love was here to stay. What she told me to walk this way. And welcome back to segment two of the High Drive Podcast. Would like to take this opportunity to thank our guests for this evening, Cater Vess, Lady Iepsia, and Ophelia Yodosala, all from RVB. I know that Cator had to alarm clock this because he is in Iceland, and I know there's a couple others here that are already kind of on the tired side. So we're going to start rolling our way towards the very end, but we're going to take this opportunity. Finn has a corp mate and wanted to share another story time story. So take it away, sir.
So welcome, everybody. We're going to have our second edition of Story Time with Finn. For those of you that are not watching live and listening to the podcast, you'll get the story, but you're going to miss the pictures. Our wordsmith hero, Avada, does lots of pictures in his storytelling as well. So these are kind of like picture books.
But before you get into that, why don't you, if somebody is actually a recorded listener and they do want to watch this live, why don't you tell them the information for how they can go about doing that?
Absolutely. We record live basically every other Thursday. So twice a month, we record live on my stream at twitch.tv/Fintaru, FINTARUE. I do stream pretty regularly, but on those Thursday nights, you can find us live here. There's a lot of things that you get to do if you're watching live. You get to interact with us. We answer a lot of questions. I'm sure all of our listeners have heard us talking to some of the chat goers and the questions that they ask as well. So that's another opportunity to see some PvP as well as interact live with us. So here we go. The last time on our Chronicles of Syracuse, this is Act 2, Chronicles of Syracuse Act 1 involved a big fight that happened over a Poss blowing up a Vargr in which Rifterlings managed to steal all of the loot. Well, this is a second story, and this is, I think, the ideal story for Eve and the way Eve plays out. So here we go. Let's start off, brought to you by Hero Avada. Thank you very much. Gentle traders, he bids you welcome. Welcome to the blood, to the sweat, to the tears. Welcome to your place on the wall. A quote by the Sirker Trade Union. This is a story of a long-baited trap, of patience, conspiracy, and money in New Eden. For a capsuleer, Isk, sheer will and determination drive the universe of New Eden forward. Barely a month ago, Xenovenom pondered his leader's cryptic talk of murder. An Eve mail had been received by Sarah DeVore, one of our directors, from a foreign stranger with a warning. His intentions unknown, but his information too provocative for local traders to. For months, whispers spread through the Amar Minmatar war zone of smugglers buying up ammunition from local markets and receiving it at higher prices. The stranger warned Sarah of a rogue who had been stockpiling lead at from a 20-jump radius. A single conspirator singled out called Burn One Dubin. Artist rendition here. What were the capsuleer's intentions with the lead S in the region? Genocide and death being the only rational answer, the people of Sirkur demanded a Sarah Naborsky, right hand to the Emperor Fincher. Acting on a mandate delivered by the people of Sirka, recruited a crack team of capsuleers to the chief among this crack team of conspirators, the butcher of Sirka, Xenovenom, stepped forward and promised the people victory. But experience on the Undock had proven him patient, wise, and true, for every trap requires a bait, a dangling carrot interesting enough to subdue doubt and provoke action. Our hero began to seed Lead S into the Sirka market. The conspirators waited and watched the region's supply carefully, shift hands and rise in price as Burn Lindu made his way across the region hubs. They casually watched his activity for weeks, looking for patterns. Suddenly, fate arrived on the Fairstorm Gate as Burn Lindu jumped into system. Tyler, feverishly vigilant, rallied Xenovenom and his cohorts to the Undock. Our heroes waited patiently as the doomed smuggler warped to the station and death. Suddenly, in an almost impossible act of perception, Burn One Doobie disappeared from local and logged off and on his way to the station. Suspecting great cunning and that their suspect had avoided their camp, The heroes quietly waited as disappointment set in among the group. But wait! Suddenly, their watch list flickered as the smuggler logged back in, minutes later, and docked up in station. The heroes undocked and waited for him to make his purchase and undock. Minutes passed by, only to watch their suspect log off again in state. Holding out hope, our heroes waited with conviction and patience. 10 minutes, 20 minutes passed, 30 minutes without a sign that he had logged back in. But hark! Their watch list flickered a second time as Burn One Doobie logged back in. Anticipation rose, and our heroes overheated their guns and waited. Burn One Doobie and docks in his nervous. In a single moment, the heavens burned, the stars cried out, and under the ashes, scarred and bleeding, the rogue trainer breathed his last inside Sirikur. The citizens of the world our hero's patience, cunning, and conviction had been rewarded with victory. The smuggler was dead. So that was just to what I was talking about being one of the perfect examples of Eve. That was a trap that had been 5 months in the making. The original contract to kill that guy had been given to, had been like sent to us like Thanksgiving or whatever last year. And then it took, or before that, and it took that long to set the trap up in order to get him into Syracuse so we could blap the crap out of him.
My favorite part about that story is the fact that the podcast listeners will never know what went into making that work.
And all the pictures that were attached to it. So, TLDR, bad guy is manipulating the price of ammo, and 5 months later, a sting operation where the heroes of Sirikur blap this guy to oblivion. Yes?
Yeah, pretty much. By manipulating the market in return to get him to come to our system.
All right. Finn, it is time for some yin. It is time for your knowledge. What have you got for us tonight?
Okay, so this AWACS. Well, okay, so our corp, every once in a while, we have a thing called AWACS Weekend or an AWACS Week, where people in the Alliance just go crazy and we just shoot each other for like 4 days. I had the opportunity to test out some fun fits. I like to take AWACS Weekend as a chance to test fits. Crap, and you know what? That cyclone didn't die, so I don't have a kill mail for it. But I got to test out a really fun, a couple of fun ships. The first one, though, I'm just going to go over this. This is a ship where I honestly think it's pretty. This is a Crusader. Now, Nullsec pilots might disagree with me because you're going to see the Crusader used a lot more in Nullsec because of the way people fit their ships. The meta is completely different there than in Lowsec. And so this is going to be more of a typical style Nullsec fit. It can work in Lowsec, but you're going to want to be extremely picky about your targets. You can't just fight everything because you have no range control in this. So I use this fit for hunting down Kiters. It does work pretty good for it. So I'm using dual light pulse lasers, micro warp drive, warp scram, adaptive nano, heat sink, small ancillary arm wrapper, damage control, rigged to taste. I put on a metastasis adjuster to give me a little extra tracking and an aux nano pump for slightly better armor reps. A second version that I flew, I just went to aux nano pumps to give me some really heavy armor reps. It gets pretty good DPS, about 200 DPS with multi-frequency. But again, if you're getting into a hardcore brawl, you're really going to be in trouble because you don't have a web and you don't have an afterburner, so you have zero range control. So people can get under your guns and outtrack you pretty easily. But if you're dealing with a lot of pesky like Condors and kiting Tristans in the area that you happen to be flying in, this Crusader is really good at killing them. I did kill quite a few of those people that were flying those around during our AWACS week. So remember your targets. Pick them out very carefully. Look for kiters and hunt them down brutally and murder them.
Nice. Is that what you got for us?
That is.
All right. Thank you, Finn. At this time, I think we're going to start heading into shout-outs. We're going to give Kador an opportunity to try to get a little more sleep before he has to get up in the morning. So why don't we go ahead? We'll start off with our guests tonight to give their shout-outs first. Kador, go ahead. Do you have any shout-outs you'd like to give?
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to my fellow CSM candidates. Well done for stepping up, and well done for taking part in the process.
Thanks.
And good luck to you on your campaign, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Lady Iepsia, do you have any shout-outs that you'd like to toss out tonight?
Yeah, shout-out to anybody left in Limited Infinity, because they were the ones who originally suggested joining RVB during a war deck in my Indie Corp. And 7,000 kills or more later, I'm still here.
Nice. How about Ophelia? Do you have any shout-outs you'd like to give for tonight?
I want to shout-out Cater. Good luck with all that, man. You got my vote. I also want to shout-out to Thekla. I hope to see you soon whenever Mang decides to start up that tournament. Looking forward to it.
All right. Ash, you're up.
Wow. I want to give a shout-out to my new buddies in my new alliance. All of the folks at NVS that have really made us feel at home are... You guys are the true, real MVPs. I also want to give a shout-out to all of the people that have supported me on my CSM run and with everything that we've been doing. I've been putting in a lot of work into EVE that isn't involving logging into EVE, but it has been very, very rewarding thanks to everybody who has kind of sent in mail and sent in, you know, tweets and all that stuff. You guys are the absolute best. So shout out to all of the guys that listen to me either here or in High Drag or whatever, and don't think to themselves, man, this guy's an asshole, I can't stand listening to him. If you fall into that category, I'm giving you a shout out, because you guys are the best, most tolerant people I know.
Nice. Finn, you have any shout outs?
I definitely to Zach. Zach and Big Miker. Having them in Corp has been a lot of and it's just been really sweet to have some of the people that I always watched, you know, were my inspiration for PvP. Having them in Corp is like, you know, I get my little like fangirl starstruck moments, you know, whenever I get to, you know, see them in Corp. I'm like, oh my god! Yeah, even though it's my Corp. That's it.
All right. I've got quite a list here. I'm going to start off with last episode. We had a couple of guys on from Agony Unleashed, and we've been maintaining some communications with Jason Larrison. And I would like to say, I would like to announce that for our 50th episode that we are going to record in 2 weeks, High Drag is going to sponsor 10 people. If you wish to take the Agony Basic, or if you have already taken the Agony Basic and would be interested in taking the Agony Wolfpack class, we will sponsor you and we will provide ships for you to take on that course. So all you need to do is to contact us. All you need to do is contact us at High Drag. My goodness, what is it? What is our email, Ash? I am just spacing it out. The Gmail one.
I'm pretty sure it's Hydrostatic Podcast. Or, goddammit,
High Drag Podcast. There you go. The first 10 people that contact us at highdragpodcast@gmail.com, all you have to do is drop us a line, give us your character's in-game name, and we will contact Agony when Jason gives me their schedule. We will let them know and we will sponsor you if you wish to participate in either the basic class, or if you have already taken the basic class, then you can take the Wolfpack class.
I have just verified it is, in fact, High Drag Podcast.
Hydrag, thank you.
As opposed to Hydrostatic Podcast.
Not Hydrostatic.
Totally different. Yeah, no, it's not that one.
All right. So again, the first 10 people, now this is going to be starting in 2 weeks for our 50th anniversary episode. So keep this in mind. The first 10 people who contact us at highdragpodcast@gmail.com, we will sponsor you. We will get you the details. We will provide you with a handful of ships, and you can go and learn from Agony Unleashed in how to do these sorts of things. next shout out is going to be to Thecla and to Exglint, just because I know it's going to make them uncomfortable to hear a shout out for them for absolutely no reason whatsoever. I do want to say a huge shout out to all the people who have been sending us emails lately. We've gotten so many mails from people who have listened to the show and tell us that they like the show, and we do really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And also Biff Anderson from the Tuskers said he wanted a shout out. I know, Finn, you had a run-in with the Tuskers earlier this evening. I had to kind of chuckle because I know that one of the Tuskers had said, hey, shout us out. So, and for those people who wish to chat with us or at least kind of keep tabs on what's going on with us in game, you can join us at High Drag Chat in game. I know that Kyle, who hot drops in and out, you might catch him. I am either in there on random or on my industrial alt, whom I won't name, but I make no secret of it once I'm in game. And if you want to get in touch with us, Finn, can people get in touch with you? How?
Absolutely. You can pretty easily find me. You know, send me a mail in game at Fintrue, FINTARUE, or you can find me on Twitch, the same name. I also have a Twitter, which is at Fintrue. So all of the above are good ways to get a hold of me and send me questions and stuff.
Cool. Ash, how can people get a hold of you?
Actually, before I say that, because I always have one more thing to say, I will say that I'm extremely interested in making a Music City meetup. I live in Nashville, and I've already got some plans to do a Nashville meetup. I want to target it to be on the same time as FanFest and maybe have it be streamed or something to the place. But either way, if you live in or around the Nashville area and that interests you and you want to be part of it, I've already been talking to Bam Stoker. So if you are interested, please contact me. Or if you want to talk to me about CSM or anything else, you can contact me at Ashtarothy on Twitter, or in-game as Ashtarothy in the Hydrag chat, in the Hydrostatic chat. But honestly, your best bet is to ping me on Twitter or in the Tweetfleet Slack.
Okay, and if you want to get a hold of me, you can contact me at Gmail at randommcnally01. @gmail.com, or you can catch me on Twitter at randommcnally1. Last two things, big thank you for Kador, Lady Iipsia, and Ophelia. Thank you for coming on to the show. I know that we had tried to organize this 2 weeks ago and it kind of fell through. Thanks for holding out and coming back and joining us tonight, and especially thanks, Kador, for alarm clocking and joining us. And also, one last shout-out, and then I promise I'm going to be done. For those people who haven't had a chance, there is a brand-new podcast out that I am a very big fan of right now. For those people who are new bros or like listening to the new bro perspective, tune in to the Neocom. Protovarius, who's been a big fan of the High Drag podcast, along with Kira Tsukumoto, they've had a very entertaining podcast. So if you get a chance, tune in to the Neocom. And last chance, anybody have any last words?
Good luck and happy hunting to all.
There you go.
Don't forget to vote.
Vote, yes, absolutely. Please vote. And so, on behalf of the hot-dropped Kyle Yanowski, Ashtarothy, Fintrue, Kador Vess, CSM member, good luck again on your campaign. Lady Iipsia, Ophelia Yodosala, and myself, Randa McNally. We'll see you guys in space.
It was a recipe for disaster. A four-course meal of no siree. It seemed that happily ever after was happy everyone was after me. It was a cup of good intentions, a tablespoon of one big mess, a dash of old reaction.
was a fusion of confusion with a few confounding things.
Because I was so embarrassed. You know, you start calling out a primary target, and I'm looking at my overview going, I don't have it.